Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Tomorrow, here on this very radio station, the Boston Bruins take on the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 1, the second round of the NHL playoffs. Bruce Cassidy is the head coach of the Boston Bruins and noted super fan of the Toucher and Rich show. Bruce Cassidy, hello, sir.
Hi, Fred. Hey, Rich. John, how are you?
You know, no need to put John in there.
Jeez.
Bruce Cassidy, first of all, congratulations.
Well, thank you. It was an exciting series.
It was. It was very painful, the Game 7 to watch until the third period. It was.
Those are not enjoyable experiences.
As a fan of hockey, when your team is in a Game 7, the team that you support is in a Game 7, and it is a down by one goal going into the third. It's a very painful process. You can understand that.
I can. I lived it. I told you that years ago. But it was a pretty entertaining game from what I heard. The feedback we got, good first period, kind of a lousy second period, a great third period. So I kept the fans in the building. But they went home happy. That's the end goal. And it was a good way to win the game for us. To be able to come back like this at the end of the day to show the resilience. You know, the guys know that they can be down and still come back. So I think it's a good character builder going forward.
You think that's a lesson to the young players? Maybe that is a factor in the next series?
Well, I think, you know, mostly every game's a lesson for them at this age, you know, the guys that haven't played. So, yeah, that's a big one. It's good and bad. You know, listen, you gotta play. You can't have any lulls. We got away with one in the second, but you know, you got to be mindful of that going forward against, you know, all these good teams. But they came through. I mean, they didn't seem too fazed by it. I mean, Charlie's been through it, but Jake was real good, obviously, in that game. The whole series, Dan found his game. I thought Grizz was the best game he'd played in a long time as well. So it was good for them because we need them. They play every night for us, so they're going to have to kind of get past that stuff and just be able to play.
Sweeney talked about how Rask didn't put his best foot forward, is what he said. Was there any point in Game 7 that you were kind of batting around the idea of pulling Rask?
Not really. I mean, it wasn't going well for either goalie, I thought. Obviously, they both had their moments where they're real good in the series. And, you know, that game, it seemed like everything was going in early. And it's odd when that happens, let's face it. You know, you expect a tight game, which it was, till the end. It was just a high-scoring tight game. So, but I think the game's gone like that now. Honestly, Toronto was one of the, what were they, the, I don't know, third or fourth highest-scoring team. We were up there. Tampa Bay might have been the second highest. So I expect a few more of those games where there's a lot of goals, just too many good players. And they're allowed to move around the ice, especially with the new rules and all the power plays. So it's going to happen from time to time. To get back to your question, not really. No, obviously, if it got away from us, we would have looked at it. We did it earlier in the series more to just, you know, give him a mental break. He didn't have it one particular night. So, but at the end of the day, we figured he'd find his game eventually. He did. He was good in the third. We were good in front of him. We had to be, but you know, that's how you win. But he found it, and good for him.
What went into the thinking in Game 7 to go with the guys? Because I mean, his goals were obviously at a premium, and in the first line especially was having a hard time scoring, but there was a lot of talk about possibly inserting Donato in there because this was a team that needed to score. What went into your decision to end up riding with the guys that you had and not starting Donato?
I think the simplest one was, you know, we really trusted the guys that we played. It was basically the strongest lineup and the one we envisioned, you know, all year. Now, Rick Nash is obviously the exception because he was a trade line, deadline acquisition, but you know, Ryan Spooner had been there, so that was, you subbed that for that deal, and you got what, you know, we felt was our strongest lineup. Now, having said that, Danton, you know, had his ups and downs, but he was always a reliable player. So we knew going out there that, okay, maybe he's not going to score, but he never hurts the team. He's a solid defensive player, can move around the lineup. And we'd just shorten our bench if we felt guys weren't going that night. We've done that a lot in the past or juggled some lines. Ryan has played well for us in the regular season, obviously. Goes without saying. He's clearly come in and showed he can score goals. But now you look at him in the lineup in a playoff series. He could move around. He did for us. He played center, I think, the last game, right wing for a bit. But we thought he was best fit on left wing. We'd be able to best, utilize and have the best chance at success playing the left wing. We thought it'd be a little unfair, you know, playing him out of position in a Game 7. So that's what it came down to. And I just felt that we'll go with the group that got us there. And then going forward, if we need to make an adjustment, Ryan would obviously be considered. And that's how it worked out. We used Tommy Wingles as well. Gio didn't get in, unfortunately, but you know, that's how we came up with the our lineup for the last game.
Yeah, you mentioned Wingles. You mentioned Rick Nash. You've moved Rick Nash around a little bit. What did you make of his performance in that series?
Listen, he's going to be judged on a lot of times whether he scores or not. That's his kind of been on his resume his whole life, that he's an elite player that scores goals. Unfortunately, the puck didn't go in for him as much. I thought he generated a lot of offense. You know, we got all this data and analytics that everyone uses, and he's right up there with our chances created. He just didn't bury any of them. So going forward, how do you fix that? Does he need to be tighter to the net? Does he need to change sides, different personnel, more ice time, whatever? We're going to look at a lot of different things, but to me it's just a matter of a little bit of puck luck and then just a little more urgency around the net. That's playoff hockey. So, you know, we've talked to him about that, and he'll bring that going forward and hopefully finds his game.
Is when you move Rick Nash down to the third line, do you consider that sort of a demotion?
I didn't. I thought he could help that line. They were a little stagnant offensively, and he's a guy that generates, and he did up there in Toronto. That line had some good looks. If there was one, I know that, you know, Rick just top of my head came off the wall and created a play, and Ryan Nash had an open net, and it hit the guy's stick in front, had the goalie down and out. So right away there was some positives from that move. They just, again, they didn't finish it. And sometimes in a short, you know, kind of sample size, even though it was seven games, that you can have pockets of that where the puck doesn't go in. So we're not going to completely judge him on that series, understanding that we know it, he knows it, like, he's here to produce. So we're going to need it going forward. We got away with it this series because a kid like DeBrusk comes up and who played on the same line with for the most part, gets it done. So, you know, Rick certainly did his part as a line mate. He just didn't individually finish, and so we're gonna ask him, and he's gonna hope he can get a little bit more of that done. But I like what he's brought to the team. You know, the other teams know when he's on the ice, it balances our how you kind of pre-scout us or how you defend us. You can't just put all your eggs in one basket against Berge's line, because, you know, Krejci's line will do some damage as well.
Yeah, DeBrusk, people pitched about it when he was taken, and now I think that turns out that they were wrong. Me, I was very familiar with him before he was taken. I was a huge fan.
Yeah, well, they'll bitch about something else. You know, they can move on to the next topic, but you're right. Jake's done a good job, and it's true. You know, he was a little bit maybe, I don't know if he was taken a little ahead of his spots, but at the end of the day, he's turned out to be, you know, he's only a first-year guy, but you can see it. He's an NHL elite skater at this level, and he's now found his confidence. He can score. He goes to the dirty areas, so he's going to be a good fixture for us for a while. We don't know, you know, you never know what his ceiling will be, but these are tough moments for these young kids, and he came through this one, you know, very well.
Okay, the last thing I'll ask you is probably the one that caused the most talk on Sports Talk Radio, including this show, is what was the thinking by putting Wingles on the second line in Game 6?
More about Krejci in the past has had some right wingers that go to the net, so we thought, okay, we'll put a guy in there that, you know, I know Rick Nash is a big guy that goes to the net, but like we said, we're trying to balance lines to move him. So who goes in there next? Does David Backes move up? Is it Wingles? Is it Gionta or Ryan Donato in his off wing? Well, we talked about Donato, right? So it became Gio or Wingles. Wingles has playoff experience, so does Gionta. We just wanted a heavier body going to the net. Gionta had a good, or Wingles, a good first game. You know, he annoyed a lot of their guys. He obviously led to the Kadri suspension with some good hard hits on their skill. So that was it. And again, an in-game switch, which we've done a lot this year, could have been done if that was the case. It did put him on his right wing. He's a right shot. So a little unorthodox when you look at it, because he is more of a plugger, but some of those guys tend to have good playoffs when they get tossed in there, and so we gave it a whirl. It didn't work up there, and then we went back to what was a little more, I guess, consistent before those games, and ended up getting, you know, lots of offense as a result at home here.
Okay, so did your life flash before your eyes a little bit in Game 7 when you start the fourth line and then there's the penalty and Toronto scores on the power play?
Well, yeah, you know, he's got his matchup he likes to start, and so we're going to try to get Berge against Matthews and then let the game play out. Like, he played against Matthews a lot, but not every shift. You know, as long as he's back there, then we're getting one of, you know, one or the other generally against Matthews. And, you know, we did a good job against him. He's a good player. But, yeah, a little bit. It's like, well, I think you go, holy crap, is this the standard of officiating today? Because it seemed like to us a weak call in a game seven. We've been told, well, they're going to let the players play generally, and then they score, and it's like, yep, way to go, Butch. But at the end of the day, those guys are pretty good for us, and they've started well, and they're usually bringing energy, and he got the penalty behind their net. So, you know, everything played out like we're supposed to. We're supposed to go play in their end to start the game and then, you know, feed off that. But anyway, yeah, it was a tough one for Sean, but we got past it. So, but anyway.
All right, we're talking to Bruce Cassidy. And Bruce, because the NHL is strange and we find ourselves with the first seed versus the second seed in the second round, which is odd, what do you believe happened at the end of the season when the Bruins went through that slump, which ultimately lost them home ice advantage in the playoffs?
Yeah, I knew we'd come around to that, obviously, right? This is the series that, you know, that it could cost us, and I guess we'll see as it plays out. I think we got tired, and I know Florida, we went out, we lost, I think, twice to them the same week. They were fighting for that last playoff spot. They were a team a lot like us last year trying to get in. You know, they had the pedal to the metal there the last, you know, 6-8 weeks of the season. We're playing good hockey, so... I'll give them credit. Now, the game at home, obviously we come off, we beat Ottawa, we play well, and we find out, you know, as we're leaving the rink that night that we have a chance for first. I think, you know, our guys knew that we were going to sit some guys the next night and get rested, and so they had to sort of reset mentally. And, you know, we just laid an egg in the first period, and, you know, by the time we got our legs and got into it, the next night it was too late. So that's about the best I could tell you. I mean, obviously, we would love to have that game back, but then now you're rewriting the whole playoff story. You're playing Jersey in the first round, and you just never know how that's, you know, you don't like to wish for which opponent you get, but you would have liked to have home ice this round, that's for sure. I'm not going to lie to you, but that's over and done with, and we'll play the hand we're dealt now. So.
All right. Have you heeded the league's advice and told Marchand not to lick any more people?
I have not yet. I bought him some Mentos and told him to have at it, so what the heck, it's a good storyline. But
like, what can they do?
They have Marshy's hotline. I'm sure if they want to give him a message, they can give him one.
But like, what's the rule?
What rule did he violate?
Like, if he does it again, what's the punishment?
I have no idea on that one. That's an interesting one, but... I don't know. You got me there. I really don't know. You know, Marshy's always got something up his sleeve, so I'm sure he'll have a good comeback for this if the league has reached out to him. But hopefully he doesn't get himself in any trouble. I told you this before. If this is the worst he does, we're all happy here, right? Because we've known Marshy go the other way. So I thought it was funny. You know, it gave the league some publicity, so I'm not sure what they're all worked up. The other guy didn't seem to be that worked up about it. Their player.
He enjoyed it. Now, did he practice that? Is that something that he works on in Brighton? Mm.
Well, he likes Bergie a lot. We could ask Bergie.
All right. So, Bruce Cassidy, congratulations again.
And congrats on the Jack Adams finalist that they announced as well.
Yeah, thanks. That's an honor. You know, obviously a reflection of how the players play and the whole coaching staff. But, yeah, it's nice. Nice to be recognized.
Oh, just take the credit, man. Don't spread it around. All right. Bruce Cassidy, congratulations and best of luck.
Okay, thanks, fellas.
All right, we appreciate it. There you go. Bruce Cassidy.